T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're not locked in stone, and I'd really like for the people that are still living in 2010 and 2011 to move on and see what we're doing. I see the game within the game. We're not pitching to contact, we're pitching to get out. Mm-hmm. Our starters and our pitchers have got to be able to command the fastball to the four corners of the strike zone.
That was Ray Searage in the Pirates Radio Network right there. Whew. With a lot to say. We're not pitching to contact. Get with the program. Does this man know the room? Can he read it? Is he made? I get frustration, but no one wants to hear that from Ray Searage right now. Basically, anybody that's been clamoring for there to be improvement about the Pirates or by the Pirates pitchers, they don't want to hear Ray Searage basically giving a finger-wagging lecture to them. It's the PM team, Chris Muller in solo, Andrew Filippone. He'll be recovering all week after surgery, which was successful. He's got some pain that he's dealing with. Pirates fans have different kind of pain, the emotional kind. When you're celebrating a win because it's the fifth win in your last 29 games, things aren't great. Wouldn't call them great. You know why things aren't great for the Pirates? They're pitching more than anything else. Has been nothing shy of abysmal. ERA 14th out of 15 teams at 5.01 for the season. That is really bad. The Pirates are 7th in strikeouts. Searage has pointed out that they are striking out more hitters than maybe they have. The pitch-to-contact narrative probably is a little tired. They aren't pitching to contact. They are in the upper half, barely. If they were one spot lower, they'd be in the lower half of the National League team strikeout list. Do you know what the problem here is? When it comes to hits, runs, earned runs, home runs, and walks, the Pirates are listen to this. 15 teams in the NL. You ready? Here's where the Pirates rank. 14th in hits allowed. 14th in runs allowed. 14th in earned runs allowed. 13th in home runs allowed. 12th in walks. People presented what Ray Searage said over the weekend like it was, people acted like what Ray Searage was saying was a defense of his pitchers. He crushed them. Ray Searage flat out said that my pitchers aren't executing. They're overthrowing their pitches in big spots. He said they're basically getting nervous and trying to do too much because they know that the ball is flying out of the ballpark and because they're trying to keep the ball in the ballpark. They're trying to throw the ball harder. They're trying to make the breaking stuff snap more, and that's getting them in trouble. But he wants to know, he wants you to know, that they're not pitching to contact. Get with the program. I'm going to play this again because the indignant tone here is what really gets me from Ray Searage.
We're not locked in stone, and I'd really like for the people that are still living in 2010 and 2011 to move on and see what we're doing. I see the game within the game. We're not pitching to contact, we're pitching to get out. Mm-hmm. Our starters and our pitchers have got to be able to command the fastball to the four corners of the strike zone.
To see what we're doing? Second worst in the league in hits, runs, and earned runs. Third worst in the league, the NL, in home runs. Fourth worst in the National League in walks. What you're doing is giving up a lot of balls that go over the fence, putting a lot of people on base for free, and frankly, not getting a lot of outs. I don't get that. I don't get Ray Searage, like, coming out swinging here, because he's not really defending. Notice what he's actually doing there. He's saying we're not pitching to contact, we're with the times, right? That's a fair statement. Get your head out of the 2013, and I don't know why he cited, by the way, two bad years for the Pirates. He could have cited the years everyone credits him for, 13, 14, and 15, when they shifted and pitched ground balls all day, every day. He says we're not pitching to contact. That suggests that I, Ray Searidge, know where the trends are headed in Major League Baseball, and I am keeping abreast of them and trying to implement strategies that take advantage of them. He also says that pitchers aren't executing. He also says that pitchers aren't doing what they should do. Everything about what Ray Searidge said seems to be a, don't look at me, I'm Ray Searidge, I'm doing my job. My pitchers aren't. But I am. Listen to this. This is Ray Searidge actually diagnosing what's going wrong. Like, what is being, if the Pirates aren't pitching to contact, what aren't they doing correctly?
The biggest thing that we're not doing is executing pitches when we need to, in especially high leverage situations. We try too hard. We try to enhance the pitch as opposed to execute the pitch. And that's what I've been trying to strive with these guys, because the way the ball is flying now, you know, they're gonna try to throw the fastball faster, and they're gonna try to make the breaking ball even sharper. And ultimately, those lead to mistakes.
You know, I always had remembered hearing that when I and others would cite Jim Benedict's influence as part of the factor, or one of many factors in the success the Pirates had, kind of reclaiming old, you know, lost and dusty pitchers, right? Broken down pitchers. I had heard from multiple people that Ray Searidge, when anybody would mention Benedict, was not a fan of that being done, because he felt that he was by far the most important cog in that little rehabilitation machine. Did you hear that quote? I'm trying to stress this to them, but they're not doing it. That's basically washing your hands and absolving yourself there. I, Ray Searidge, know what the problem is. I'm trying to get my guys not to do it. I can't go out there and pitch the ball for them. We're not executing, especially in high leverage situations. Might as well be him putting his hands up, palms out, and saying, hey, don't look at me. I'm telling them what to do. They're just not doing it. Can't blame a coach for that, can you? It's not directly his fault. Like, he's talking about the pitcher's process, not his own. Oh, I'm telling them what to do. I know you've got to try to throw four-seamers up and breaking stuff down. I mean, goodness, that's what Gerrit Cole does in Houston. Everything about that clip I just played screams, don't blame me, I just work here. Don't blame me, blame the pitchers. They're just not doing a very good job. And you know what? His pitchers probably couldn't go and get mad at him for that, because their numbers are what they are, and they aren't doing a very good job. But the idea that Ray Searidge still shouldn't bear the brunt of the blame for that is absurd. I could go look at Fangraphs and see two-seamer percentages and see them still higher for the Pirates than a lot of other teams. If your pitchers aren't executing, it might not be your fault in the sort of fundamental philosophical sense, but it is your fault because you're the pitching coach. If the hitters are all failing, even though you as the hitting coach are telling them what to do, like I'm sure the Phillies hitting coach, who they just fired, because their offense stinks, by the way, they just fired him right then and there, I'm sure he was telling them to do things that most hitting coaches tell players to do. Swing for the fences, basically. That's what we're trying to get done. But they fired him because they weren't doing enough of it. Ray Searidge might be telling the truth. Hey, don't look at me. I'm not telling these guys to do this. But the idea that he wants you, the fan, to realize more than anything else that their philosophy is good, their process is good, their execution is what's bad. Go ask the players why they suck, not me. That's bunk. That feels very, very low rent. Here's one more from Ray Searidge, and this is the one I probably like the least of all.
It gets frustrating when you have to defend yourself or your pitchers, because people are starting to say the pitching is this, the pitching is that. You know, okay, so be it. You've got that opportunity to sit in the stands, be judgmental and critical of what we do out here, but you don't know the inside part of the game that's within the game, and that's where you need to get a little bit better.
14th in earned run average in the National League, second to last. Second to last in the National League in hits allowed. Second to last in runs allowed. Second to last in earned runs allowed. Third to last in home runs allowed. Fourth to last in walks allowed. But they are 7th out of 15 teams in strikeouts. One more time. I need to play this again.
It gets frustrating when you have to defend yourself or your pitchers because people are starting to say the pitching is this, the pitching is that. You know, okay, so be it. You got that opportunity to sit in the stands, be judgmental and critical of what we do out here, but you don't know the inside part of the game that's within the game, and that's where you need to get a little bit better.
I'm not being judgmental. I'm just reading the facts. If that comes off judgmental to Ray Searidge, maybe he and his pitching staff need to figure out ways and really grind on how to get better. Because just reading the facts of how bad they are, of how bad they've been, that's not me making some sort of uninformed snap judgment. That's me reading numbers on a page and trusting what my eyes tell me. The Pirates pitchers are really bad, and whether Ray Searidge wants to accept it or not, a lot of the blame has to fall with him. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And you can also follow us on Twitter, at 937TheFan. That's driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations, North Huntington and the North Hills. Up next from Neil Huntington, he said one more thing on his weekly radio show that it just seems like a strange criticism to levy or sort of way to point the finger at this point in time. And I want to play that for you, and we want to talk about it coming up next. It's the PM Team on the Fan.
We understand that in professional sports, when a team loses more than the media thinks they should or the fans think they should, they think the solution is to blame somebody and fire somebody. And Bob Nutting and Frank Coonley may get to a point in time where that is the case.
That was Neil Huntington saying that when you lose more than the media and fans think you should, they think firing somebody's the solution? Your team is 5-24 in its last 29 games. They have cratered in a fashion rarely seen by any team. As a matter of fact, if in fact the Pirates go 5 for their next 29, that would be the worst post All-Star game record in Major League history. I don't even know how many games they have left, if there's enough of them. I'm trying to do the math here. 49-69. They got 42 game. I'm sorry. They've got 44 games left. If they were 50-70, they would have 42 left. But I can do math. They have 44 games left. They go 5-24 again. They will be 10-48 at that point, post All-Star break. And then they would have another 15 games left. And the pace they would be on at that point would be to go like 2-13, roughly. So that would be, if we're scoring at home, I believe 12-61. 12-62. Wouldn't call it great. Again, I know I keep playing these clips twice, and it's not because I'm sitting here, oh, what do I say? It's because I'm so incredulous that this is actually being said. I'm only going to play the first half.
We understand that in professional sports, when a team loses more than the media thinks they should or the fans think they should, they think the solution is to blame somebody and fire somebody. And
we were talking about adding to this team at the trade deadline. Neil Huntington, the thing that galls me the most about that from him, and again, I like Neil, but he says stuff that makes it very difficult to take his side. He's the one who has always thrown open this idea, or thrown out this idea, that he doesn't feel a window of contention. That concept needs to exist for his franchise, right? Has Neil Huntington not always pursued the idea of contending in perpetuity? Even though baseball's pretty unequal, there's an inequality-ridden financial model. It's defined by it. It suggests that you got to go for it, then rebuild it, right? If you're a team like the Pirates, if you're a franchise like the Pirates, you have to try to build the house up and then, by design, tear the house down after a couple years and then try to build it up again. It sucks. New York and LA get to build the house and keep it and try to make it that way for as long as they can. You have to do it differently. This isn't the media saying that you have, there's an if Neil Huntington was of that school of thought, he'd be like, we're in a down period now because I'm rebuilding it. But he doesn't feel that way. He thinks I can build the house and it'll stand for as long as I'm here. This isn't me and the media saying, The Pirates haven't won as much as I expected them to. They need to fire some people. This isn't Joe Q fan saying the Pirates have not performed up to my expectation as a fan. Time for heads to roll. This is a bunch of people looking at your team go 5-24 after the All-Star break when they were 2.5 games out of the division lead going, huh, maybe this isn't working out so well and they should change some things. Does 5-24 allow you to keep your job in any other sport? If the Steelers, over the course of almost two full seasons, I know Gene Collier wrote this in the PG, if they went 5-24, or let's go, we'll go 6-26, okay? We'll give them another win. In two seasons, Mike Tomlin would get fired. Back-to-back 3-13 years, bye-bye. If the Penguins, over the course of two 82-game seasons, what would the equivalent of 5-24 be there? 15-72. Nope, not quite that many. The Penguins won about 13 or 14 games in two consecutive seasons. Mike Sullivan would get fired. Ray Shiro. Jim Rutherford would get fired. Colbert and Tomlin would have gotten fired. The standard is at least that for the other teams in town. Now, I know the Pirates going 5-24 is basically 20% of a season. 30 games, approximately. It's like more like 18% of a season. It is a hideous 18% of a season. Neil Huntington acknowledged as much. He flat out said it. Even in the 105 loss year in 2010, I don't remember stretches like this. This isn't the media collectively that you're undershooting. It's any common sense. No one with a brain who watches baseball would think it's normal for a team that was 44-45 to suddenly go 5-24 and just think, well, them's the breaks. Of course not. I hate, and it's not because I'm in the media, but I hate the idea of just the little subtlety at the beginning there. Well, when you don't win as much as the media and fans expect. Now, maybe Neil Huntington just gets it and understands his job might be on the line. The way he presented the idea is so strange. Especially, again, since he's insinuating there, hey, you can't win them all the time. That's been his literal belief structure. He has tried to structure a team and build a team that wins about 84 games and maybe if they have a little luck go their way, makes the playoffs. That is his goal every year. Here's more from Neil Huntington.
Whether it's a general manager or a manager, they are hired to be fired, and that's where...
Hold on. I have to take umbrage. You're hired to win games if you're the manager. You're hired to build a team that can win games if you're the general manager. I know hired to be fired is a cliche in professional sports, but you are hired to win, and you get fired when you don't. 5-24.
In my mind, as I watch and observe other good ones, they show up every day to do the job to the very best of their ability. Their focus is on putting teams in a position, players in a position to be successful, coaches or front office people in a position to be successful. And if we go about it the right way and we get the right people in place, the results will be wins?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm having trouble right now. I'm having trouble taking any of that seriously. It all is fighting the good fight. And I think Neil Huntington intends to try to fight the good fight, but man, is it hard to take any of that with anything but the world's largest grain of salt. I don't know. The net effect of this for me has been that I just can't even, like, I can't even watch a game like last night. And I'll say this a little bit more coming up next, but the net effect for me is that I can't even watch a game like last night's and enjoy it even on its own merits. I mean, they finally just trounced a team. Bunch of home runs. Better yet, really three out of the four, because I don't consider Jacob Stallings any kind of a foundational piece, but three of the four home runs were hit by the three bright spots you have going for you this year, right? Bell, who appears to be finally coming out of his slump. Reynolds, who's been really rock solid all year since he came up, and Kevin Newman, who's been much the same. I couldn't even enjoy that component of it. Newman's hitting .304. Reynolds is hitting .333. Bell's got a .963 OPS still, even going into a two-month slump. And it is just extraordinarily difficult to take any solace in any of that. And then I look at Newman, and it's like, he's hitting .304, but he's barely above average offensively when you get to the important stuff. Ugh, see, there I go again. I'm curious. I think I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to give you my game watching experience, Pirates Angels last night, and I am wondering if people feel the same way. Up next as well, because it's what's at stake. I also have what's at stake for Devin Bush this year as a Steelers rookie. And the stakes for him, or for what, for him playing well, like what could come of it, might not be what you think. And we'll talk about that coming up next. It's time for What's at Stake, brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, the perfect steak every time. What's at stake for the Pirates tonight? Back-to-back wins for the first time since, just pick a day. Pick a day in July, early July. How about July 7th? Well, you know, the old playoff hopes aren't going to be sustained if you were 2.5 games out at the All-Star break, and it's been since a couple days before the All-Star break that you won 2 games in a row. Unless you were just doing the perfect alternation of wins and losses, and then you'd just be treading water at 500 and still wouldn't be in the playoff chase right now. It is astonishing to me how bad the Pirates have played. It really is. Somebody tweeted me, our buddy Zach, friend of the show, friend of the PM team. Pony will be back next week, by the way. He is recovering from a successful surgery. Zach said to me, I'll be honest, I watched last night's game for Mike Trout more than I did to see the Pirates. Who didn't? Jermichael's in there nodding. I mean, if you don't have MLB.TV, and this is one of your, what, handful of chances probably to see the Angels and therefore by extension see Mike Trout, I don't blame you for staying up late last night. Get a little West Coast sports in and watch that game. That just makes sense. And that's kind of where we're at. If the Pirates had, you know, if the Pirates were something like, so we've got 29 games. This is how bad it is. If they were 16-13, which through a 29-game pace is not like outstanding. It's good, but it's not phenomenal. It's a couple games better than being 500, basically. We would be talking about something completely different right now. We'd be saying, all right, can the Pirates churn their way through this? Can they get on a real roll right now? Can the Pirates put together a run that thrusts them more into the chase? If the Pirates were 16-13, they would be even with Philly right now, so 2 games out of the second wild card spot. They would have 60 wins and 58 losses. That's hard to fathom, but we would not be talking about Mike Trout. We'd be saying, hell, Mitch Keller, wow, what a job. Comes up in a cauldron, they need the win. Mitch Keller keeps pace. Instead, it's so bad that on Baseball Reference right now, the Pirates aren't even listed in the NL's wild card standings. It goes down to Colorado, who are 9.5 games out. Which means there's only a couple of teams, 3, 6, 9, 12, 13. There's 2 teams not listed on the NL's wild card race, Pirates and the Marlins. Wouldn't call it great. You realize, by the way, they're not even that far off the Marlins right now. The Marlins are 44-73. The Pirates are, 5 games better than them. I'm sorry, 4.5. 4.5 games better than them. It is not inconceivable that if this was just like a one bump in the road good game, that they free fall right past the Marlins. That would be the situation where don't you fire everyone, every single person affiliated with this. I would even say that the team president would go too, because he is technically the superior of all of them, answers only to the owner. If you're the owner, don't you fire every single person? Don't you say, yes, I'm eating a lot of money here with the manager, the general manager. If they were to free fall all the way past the Marlins to the basement of the National League, that would be enough for me. They're not going to catch Detroit. They're not going to catch, well, they might catch Kansas City. They're not going to catch Detroit or Baltimore, 2 teams built to lose. The Pirates were built to try to win, and this is what they're doing. So what's at stake for them is trying to win 2 games in a row for the first time since July 7th. That is just... it's weird to even say that. It's so preposterous. And Ray Searidge is out here lecturing fans on what they do and don't know. I'll tell you what, you can learn a lot about the Pirates pitching and whether it's been good or bad by going to baseballreference.com, by scrolling down on the Pirates team page to their pitching, where they have a handy table that says rank among 15 NL teams, and seeing a bunch of 14s, a 13, a 12, but they do have a 7 next to the strikeouts because they aren't pitching to contact. They're striking out more hitters. When people do contact the baseball, it goes out of the park a lot. Or they're not pitching to contact by walking guys and putting them on base that way. Incredible. It really is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.